Hello, everyone. Chuck Gines here with the Chuck Gines Podcast, documenting the human experience. Just one guy in search of the true, the good, and the beautiful. Today is Monday, August 28th in the year 2023. Hope you're having a great day. We have a very controversial topic. Once again, race is in the news. There was a shooting in Jacksonville, Florida. We're going to take a look at that. I have a couple clips that we're going to be going over. And we're going to be doing a little bit of a comparison contrast. We're going to look at some of the coverage of this shooting and how it's being covered. And we're going to put that in light of actual statistics. And then we're going to take a look at another instance of racial crime that really isn't reported like that. And we're just going to take a look at that double standard there. One other thing that I'm going to bring up in this is, believe it or not, Divine Intervention shows its head once again. I've done an entire show on Divine Intervention, actually probably a couple of them. And so once again, this is kind of a side issue, I guess, or just another aspect of this latest shooting, Divine Intervention. So we'll take a look at that as well. Let me start out by saying my condolences to the poor people who were, to their friends and their family who were shot and killed. So this crazy guy first goes to a campus. Apparently this guy's a racist. He doesn't like black people. He's, I guess, had a manifesto where he had stated as much and had made, I guess, social media posts and contacted the media and left a suicide note. Apparently he was racist against black people. We don't know all the details on that, but in general that seems to be the story. I guess he first went to a university, a campus there in Jacksonville, predominantly a black university campus, and was kind of run off there, and ended up walking into a Dollar General store and shooting and killing three black people. Just incredible. So I don't condone anybody killing or hurting or stealing or any of that kind of stuff based off of race. Is just really ridiculous, and it's evil, and I don't condone any of that. So my condolences to the friends and the family of the poor people who were victims of this apparently, maybe legitimately crazy. It seems like he may have had some mental issues, kind of older. I think he's in his 30s and living at his mom and dad's, and that whole scenario. Now, one aspect of this, of course, the left is wanting to blame DeSantis and Trump, and you know, that whole game goes back and forth. There's crazy people on all sides of the aisle and on all issues, for sure. And for sure, the things people say can influence crazy people to do crazy things. There's no doubt about that. I don't hold Jerry Garcia accountable for your kid taking LSD. And you know, it's kind of guilt by association in some ways. So I'm not gonna get tied up into that. So let's start out with this first clip. This is just a clip of how this is being reported here in the news.
We're continuing to follow breaking news out of Florida. The FBI is opening a hate crime investigation after a lone white gunman shot and killed three black people at a Dollar General store in Jacksonville before turning the gun on himself. The local sheriff called it a racially motivated attack, saying that the shooter, quote, hated black people. And according to police, the shooter sent manifestos that detailed racial hatred to law enforcement, media outlets, and his parents. We also learned that the gunman used a Glock handgun and an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle, in the attack. At least one of the firearms had been painted with a swastika. Sadly, we've been here before, time and time again. Mass shootings have become all too common in America. Nowhere is safe. No one is safe.
You know, yesterday when I got the news about the shooting, before we had all the information, I was already enraged, obviously, because we lose 100 lives a day due to gun violence. The leading cause of death for children is to be shot. And so I quickly put out a statement and condemned what happened and said, we need action right here in Florida right now on gun violence. And then a couple hours passed and we read about the swastika on the gun, the fact that this killer, this murderer, this racist bigot went to a HBCU, Edward Waters University, to hunt black people there, was turned away by a security guard, and then went to this Dollar General to hunt black people and kill them. And I have to say that we have been talking about this in this state for a long time and saying that the rhetoric from our governor, and not just him, but this far-right fascist movement that he embraces, that he champions, it's going to start killing people, and it's been killing people in our state. And so we have a lot of work to do. We have to condemn it, and we need the governor to come back to Florida and get out of Iowa and call a special session so that way we can focus on gun violence and racial justice in the state.
Okay, so they're entangling this with gun legislation as well, and I want to stay off of that topic. That's a separate topic, gun control. But how this is kind of being reported is that this is a big problem. What I mean by this, racist white people murdering, robbing, whatever sorts of violence towards black people. You know, the whole Black Lives Matter was built on the false premise that there was a genocide going on of racist white cops shooting and killing unarmed, innocent black people for no apparent reason whatsoever. And we know that was the motif that the Black Lives Matter was built upon. And when we look at the statistics, we see that that's ridiculous. So here, once again, we have a very, very similar situation where it's being reported that this is a huge problem. This happens all the time. As you just heard that gentleman there speaking on the news, there's some 100 deaths a day from gun violence. I'm sure all of that is true. The one thing that's left out of the narrative there is that the overwhelming majority of that gun violence and those gun deaths are committed by black people. Black people committing crimes and violence against other black people, against white people, Asian people, Eskimos, all sorts of people. You name it, they're committing violence against them at a very frightening and what should be alarming rate. So I think, while I don't justify this at all, there are white supremacist, Nazi, black-hating people out there. There's no doubt about it. I would never argue otherwise. I'm just saying there's not a whole lot of them, really. And this doesn't happen very often. And that's why it's you know, front and center in the news media. It's national news when something like this happens. Most of the time when they report stuff like this, it's fake. They might actually have a legitimate case of some guy at least purporting to be a white supremacist and racist towards black. So they might actually have a legitimate case here. So that's how they're reporting it, and that's not the case. The big gun violent problem in our country is black people and gun violence and all sorts of violence. I want to draw your attention now to something that happened in Tinley Park, which is a south suburb of the Chicago area. It's a town that I grew up in. And there was about a year ago, there was a flash mob up there. And let's listen, this, because this is a big problem. This happens all the time. We're going to get into that in a minute. But let's listen to the reporting of this racially motivated crime in Tinley Park. But this happens across America just about every day. Every day in some sort of way, some sort of, we'll get to the statistics, of black-on-white violence. But let's listen to this reporting here of this incident.
400 teenagers unfolded, causing police to cancel the final day. CBS2's Andrew Ramos.
Supposed to be a weekend of family fun at the annual Armed Forces Carnival in Tinley Park, but that fun was cut short.
The carnival was shut down after a chaotic flash mob involving 400 teenagers unfolded, causing police to cancel the final day.
Okay, so there was a flash mob of 400 teens Okay.
CBS 2's Andrew Ramos has video of that chaotic scene and reaction from those forced to head home.
Now, families who came down looking to take part in the final day of festivities of the Armed Forces Carnival here in Tinley Park were met with this, an empty parking lot. We're told police shut it all down in an effort to avoid a repeat of the chaos that unfolded 24 hours earlier. Chaos and violence erupts at the Armed Forces Weekend Carnival.
So while you're watching this video, let me tell you what you would be seeing. What you would be seeing is obviously this is a mob of black people attacking the attendees of this carnival in Tinley Park that are overwhelming majority white people. It's the elephant in the room, right? But no one's ever going to say anything here.
Saturday night. Police say it was sparked by 400 teenagers brought together by social media.
It 400 teenagers who were brought together. They were brought together through social media to punch people in the fucking face and smash car windows. I see. Right.
Creating a flash mob situation intended to cause mayhem.
I feel very mad because I really wanted to go to the carnival and they passed out tickets to my whole school.
To Nyla Smith and her family, devastated to learn about the cancellation after driving more than 30 minutes from their home, arriving to see a lone carnival ride packed up and ready to go.
So they're disappointed, so now we have to find somewhere else to go, you know, just for them to have fun.
As police responded to the...
Okay, I want to talk about this just a little bit here. So who they just interviewed there were a black lady and her daughter. They're in a car. And it, as you can hear the black lady talking, she's speaking ghetto, right? And they said that they drove 30 minutes to get there. Now, they also said in the story that they closed it down that day because there was reports of new activity of another event about to take place the next day. I can't tell you how odd it is to have picked out a black person to interview as somebody who was affected by the violence of this black mob. This is incredible. So Tinley Park is overwhelmingly white. When I grew up there, it was 99.9% white. In recent years, there has been other ethnicities, but it's overwhelmingly white. So check this out. This is the news media today. So here we have a black flash mob that 400 people stormed this white event in a white suburb of the Chicago area. They came from all around. And they stormed this place, and they caused violence, and they hit people, and a cop was hurt, and they broke some windows in some cars. I know people. I actually spoke to people that were there. So that goes down. So the people that they picked to interview who were disrupted by this black mob are some black people who I'm going to speculate that there's a real good chance that these folks didn't come down there for the carnival. That these folks might have just drove 30 minutes away from maybe Blue Island. Maybe they came from Blue Island because they heard on social media and they had watched on the news the night before that the brothers and the sisters were fucking with the crackers in TP in Tinley Park. I don't know that for a fact. That's my speculation there. I could be totally wrong, but what is interesting is they picked out some black people as the victims of what had happened the day before. We'll continue here. It's incredible stuff.
Chaos at the 80th Avenue train station where teenagers were causing panic and fighting with each other. 5 arrests were made, all of them minors, who were later released to their parents. Several citations were also issued. At least one injury was reported, a police officer who was attempting to break up a fight. Police decided to cancel the final night of festivities after learning of another planned flash mob set for Sunday. For Faith Mudada and her friends, well, they have a message for the troublemakers.
Do better because you caused everybody else that wanted to come here to not have fun.
Now, despite initial...
So that's the second person that they've found who is also black. So they've picked out two black people who are the victims of this flash mob. When in reality, the overwhelming majority of the victims of this flash mob are white people. And this wasn't just a mob of 400 teens. This was a mob of 400 black teens. And this happens all the time, all across the country, but it never makes national news. All kinds of heinous stuff. We all miss Colin Flaherty for his great reporting for many years. He passed away of cancer. But what he used to do is there's a lot of reporting like this on a daily basis at the local level, right? It never makes national news. Things like black people throwing gas. There's trends that happen, right? There's patterns and trends. And what was a trend for a while there was actually throwing gas on white people and lighting them on fire. That was a fun one. The other one was flash mobs at pools, at condominiums and private apartment complexes where white people lived. Black people would show up at the pools, and then when somebody would say about it, they'd beat the shit out of them. So there's all of these trends and patterns that happen nationwide of black-on-white flash mobs that happen constantly, and it never makes national news. As a matter of fact, Colin had lost many of his Colin had lost many of his YouTube channels for reporting and putting all of this stuff together and showing people how frequent this is happening. So now when we take a look at crime statistics, we see some very remarkable things. Just one of the statistics, you know, I was always asking Black Lives Matter, how many unarmed, innocent black people are shot by white cops every year? No one seemed to have an answer to that other than it was genocide and one was too many. When you go to look up that statistic, it was actually 0.02%, as I had figured. So most of that is fiction. When we look at national statistics, when we look at interracial crime, and it's gone up over the years. The last statistics that we have, I believe, were from 2020, where it had risen from 88% to 90%. And that is 90% of interracial crime, violent crime, is black on white, if you can get your mind around that. Of all of the violent interracial crime, where there is crimes being committed from between one racial group to another, it is 90% black on white. And that's not counting the black on Asian, the black on Latino, right? The black on Arab, and all the other crimes that the blacks would be involved. Isn't that incredible? You wouldn't think that if watching the news coverage. So I'm not condoning this in any way, shape, or form, and it should be properly reported. If the guy's a white supremacist, I don't have any problems with that soever. Call it as it is. For sure, I don't have any problems like that. But what I would like to see is equal treatment in the media. And the real problem today, the genocide and the epidemic today, is black crime. I believe of all crimes, not just violent crimes, but any kind of crimes, shoplifting, anything, blacks account for 53%, and they make up about 13% of the U.S. population. And when you break that down even further, just to get your mind around that, most of the crimes that are being committed are between people that are 18 and 35 years old. So if we take that and break that down to black people that are between the age of 18 and 35, we're talking about 4%, if you can get your mind around this. 4% of the U.S. population is accountable for about 53% of all crimes in America. In cities like Chicago, black people account for 98% of all shootings. 98%. 91% of all robberies. You'll see statistics like this across the board from numerous different places. Things like rape, there's an interesting one. They're starting not to keep statistics according to races anymore because of these things, but You know, it's in the tens of thousands of rapes reported every year of black men raping white women. And it's anywhere from zero to under 10, if you can get your mind around the disproportion in this, of white men reported having to have raped black women. Incredible. There's a great report called The Color of Crime Report that's put out by American Renaissance, Jared Taylor. And it's just an aggregate, compilation of multiple different sources of different crime statistics. And they even updated it and broke it down to having to do with economics, because a lot of people will say, well, economics is the main thing. And when we break it down, when you take Asians, Caucasians, black people, who are all of the same income levels, you see the same thing. You see that black people commit far more crimes than Asians. Asians commit, regardless of income, it's Asians that commit the least violent crime, and it's blacks that commit the most, followed by Latinos, and then Caucasians. And you'll see a drop in that, you will see a rise in crime due to economics, but that gap doesn't shorten. So that's not the cause. There's a racial element to this, and as I've said, there's a genetic element to it, and there's a social and cultural aspects to it as well. But we're not allowed to speak of these things. But the high testosterone levels, blacks have a high testosterone levels, which makes them very good at certain sports and things like that, but also lends to them having a greater propensity towards crime, on all those types of things like that we're not allowed to talk about. This is a private, there's only one person on here, which is fine, but this is a members only live. I'll have to pull it off of YouTube because this will not be appropriate. So there you have it. That is how it is purported and reported in our nation. It's very lopsided. And again, I'm not justifying this shooting in any way, shape, or form. And what is really sad, as I was getting the audios together for this podcast, there was a shooting at some other college campus, some Asian guy. I don't think anybody was hurt or shot, but opened fire at a campus somewhere in North Carolina, I believe. So again, there is we have a problem of mass shootings, but the mass shootings that aren't counted as mass shootings happen in black neighborhoods every single day, multiple times across this country. They're just not considered mass shootings. A mass shooting is where three or more people get shot, and well, unless it's in a black neighborhood, then they don't count it as a mass shooting. But we do get that slanted news reporting, and it's troublesome, and it actually encourages more racial strife and doesn't actually get to the cause and the problem. So there's a lot of racism out there today, but the majority of racism today is coming from black people being projected against Asians and Caucasians and Jews as well. That's the big deal there today. So now I want to kind of segue into now this idea of divine intervention, and that's the idea that this loving Christian God who loves all people enters into the world and suspends the natural processes of the world and intervenes for his loved ones. And let's just give a little listen. This is the president of the university in Jacksonville, Florida, where that shooter almost committed more crimes. But let's listen to what he has to say here, and we'll just give a little bit different perspective here.
At that point, Lieutenant Bailey gave a full description to the JSO officer of the unauthorized campus intruder as a white male who was wearing gloves and what appeared to be a tactical armored vest and who fled the EW campus at a high rate of speed. We, of course, now know that that individual, motivated by racism, just within a span of a few minutes later, went on a cold-blooded mass shooting spree, taking the lives of three innocent members of our Newtown community. And while, again, we as a university community are and will remain forever utterly heartbroken at the senseless loss of these three beautiful lives, we at the same time are grateful and appreciative first to God. In consultation with our board chair, Bishop Frank Madison Reed III, earlier this morning, he shared that the protection of EWU and the fact that not a single life was lost and no harm came to any person on the Edward Waters campus was and in fact is a God thing.
Okay. Okay, I don't know why they do this. So the idea here is, and we'll let them talk some more, that God intervened and stopped this killer from killing people. But wait a minute. Why didn't he stop him from going into the... You just said that these were innocent people that were killed at the Dollar General store. Well, how could they be innocent? Why would God stop this guy from shooting people at the university, but not intervene and stop him from killing these people at the Dollar General store? We'll go on.
No one but Jesus delivered EWU and African Methodism from another Emmanuel 9 tragedy. And we are thankful to the Holy Spirit that led Lieutenant Bailey into the truth of where to be, when to be there, and what to do in a time of potential great trouble.
Okay. God intervened and put this guy where he was supposed to be, but didn't do it for these other people. Incredible. One of the things that I brought up in one of my podcasts was Lonnie, this bushcrafter guy, and his wife Connie, real sweet people, who talked about how God had intervened in helping them get their boat on their trailer. And I had brought up, oh, really? So this God somehow flew over all of the starving kids in Africa and some fucking how found time to help you with your boat? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And here again, so these innocent people, and I say they are innocent people, but how can you say that they're innocent people if God chose not to intervene? He must have, it's got to be a God thing, man, just like you said. If it's got to be a God thing that this shooter didn't kill anybody at the university, then it's also got to be a God thing that these people got shot at Dollar General. You can't have it both ways. Pretty weird.
Truly, in the midst of the crucifixion of three innocent lives and families, God gave EWU both a Passover and resurrection miracle. And for that, we are compelled to be exceedingly grateful.
So he loves the people at the university more. He gave them a blessing and a Passover because, I mean, how do you explain this? He must love them more, and those people must not be so innocent, I guess. I don't know. It's a weird thing, this idea of a divine intervention, and it gets invoked all the time. So I wanted to bring that up as a little bit of a side issue. Again, this is over on YouTube, and I can't keep it up there because you're not allowed to speak of these things in the way in which I speak of them. The replay of this will be over on my website, chuckgiants.com, in the members area. As a matter of fact, I will be uploading it here within minutes. It'll be up there. I already created the page. There is a link in the comment section of both the Super Chat and the regular comments of this video. If you are watching this, you are one of the few, because it will be removed here pretty quickly. Okay, everybody, so there we have it once again. And again, condolences to the friends and the family of these poor people who were shot by this crazy dude, basically for race. And that is never justified, no matter which way it goes. All right, everybody, have a good day.